In today's gospel text, Jesus leaves us with a hope that all may be one. Let me repeat the text as John's gospel tells it. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Jesus addresses God, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one." This is a lot of coming together. Jesus is one with God, and we are one with Jesus and one with each other. It can get confusing, especially in a church like ours, where we worship God as we come together from a variety of languages, cultural expectations, and ways of doing worship. I don't believe I have stepped onto a cultural taboo yet, but I don't expect it will be long before I do. When you genuinely share yourselves with one another, you're bound to step on some toes. I have learned this personally as being part of an interracial, intercultural family. But the effort this church puts toward being a community that welcomes people of so many different backgrounds in the name of Jesus is one of the defining characteristics that drew me and made me feel called to this church in the first place. When I was in college, I spent a semester studying in Beijing, China. It was 20 years ago, so they were not quite so used to Americans as they are now. I stood out everywhere as the tall, pale Lao Wai, which is what they called foreigners. Having grown up as white in America, I had never had the experience of being a racial minority. Growing up in the U.S. South, my skin color granted me a lot of privilege. It gave me some perspective, living as an outsider in someone else's country and not knowing the language. Learning to feel comfortable in my own skin as a racial minority later helped me when I came out as gay and again had to get used to being treated as an outsider. Still, in China, people were always kind to me, and they treated me as a favored guest. One funny story was that early on while I was there, I was taking a morning walk outside, and I noticed a group of people gathered together in the park looking at something. And I walked right through that something unintentionally, stepping onto the set of the filming of a Chinese soap opera. The director came yelling at me in Chinese, and I was brand new there, and I didn't know what he was saying. All I could say was, "Ah, tai, dui bu qi ya," you know, "I'm terribly sorry." That was one word I did know. And I later found out that they were filming the soap opera, and the white woman who had played the wife of the star had not been able to get her visa, and they needed somebody. So they asked me, "Have you ever acted before?" "Oh, well, yes, but it was only theater," I said, which was like the eighth grade play. A couple hours later, they had me in wardrobe and makeup, and I was being filmed in a Chinese soap opera. And so it was an interesting experience being treated as a favored guest. I wish immigrants here would also be treated with the same level of kindness, but unfortunately, that's not always true. Jesus's hope that all may be one prepares us for the miracle coming in the season of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descends on the followers of Jesus and causes them to speak in different language, every language known to those visiting the area. It is a sign that this gift of the Spirit is available to anyone, regardless of language or background. This gift of the Spirit caused members of your church, this church, to sit almost every day of the week in the church offering classes with new English speakers. And while the stated purpose of the program, the ESL program, is learning English, I have found in my first visits with these groups over the last week that friendship becomes at least as strong an outcome as new vocabulary. Others in the church have connected with COFIA, where they advocate with and for day laborers who come from other countries. They help these guests know what they should expect of their rights and to stand up to abuses such as wage theft. These are wonderful ministries, but I have to admit the Christian church has not always practiced so well its witness to the oneness of Jesus' call. From the Council of Chalcedon in 451, which addressed differences of opinion about the nature of Jesus Christ, to the struggles to understand how the church can welcome gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender persons into the love of Jesus today, the church has endured fracture in every age. Even Paul, our lead missionary, misses a target. In this week's first lectionary text, Paul once told the churches in Galatia, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." But today, Paul misses the oneness he preaches when he overlooks the humanity of a young slave girl. Here is what we know about this girl in Acts. She is possessed by a spirit of divination. The Greek text calls it a pneuma pythonos, which means spirit of a python, referring to the python snake who guarded the oracle at Delphi and was slain by Apollo. The girl speaks the truth about Paul and his mates, saying, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaimed to you a way of salvation." But Paul finds this girl annoying. After days of listening to the girl's prophecies, he finally calls the spirit out of her in an act of exorcism. But it isn't clear that he does this for the girl's liberation so much as to stop behavior he finds irritating. The slave girl's owners become angry. The girl they exploited can no longer make them money, thanks to Paul. They bring Paul before the magistrates for disrupting Roman custom. The crowds join in attacking, and Paul and Silas get thrown into jail. And we never know what becomes of the slave girl. We don't even know her name. In ignoring the slave girl after Paul orders the spirit out of her, Paul misses a chance to model the oneness we find in Christ. Now, Paul says and does things throughout his writings that show he is not perfect, and I have to say I can appreciate that as your new minister. You will find that I will say or do things that reveal I am not perfect. You have probably already clued into this truth. I wonder, though, what would have happened if Paul had stopped in his tracks to see that this girl would not only be free of the python spirit, but also of the slavery that held her captive. What would her experience of Jesus be if she were truly free? I do believe that Paul sought to subvert the economic system that took advantage of this girl. In doing so, he attracts the anger of the authorities. "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." Christianity promotes customs that can be inconvenient for the status quo. Toes were certainly stepped on throughout our Christian history. When the Christian gospel came to Madagascar in the 19th century, England decided that it must outlaw slavery. Now, England also was a huge proponent of slavery for centuries, but at that point in history, it was outlawed. England then was seen as a Christian nation, so abolition was seen as a requirement of the Christian lifestyle. What a powerful message to people who had considered slavery as normal and as a way of getting wealthy. Jesus spared hundreds of thousands of Malagasy people from slavery. I imagine that as we live into the oneness to which Jesus calls us, we will hear many different stories in many different accents of how Jesus' salvation has become real to us, healing and changing lives, and then calling us to heal and change the world. And how we tell that story will sound different. When I first moved to New York the first time, the first group of friends I met were going out with me for dinner. And as we were getting to know one another, they said to me, "You know, Leah, you don't sound very much like a Southerner." And I said, "Well, you know, I've grown up in Atlanta, but I know I don't have much of a Southern accent, do I?" And they said, "Well, there's that, and you're just so open-minded." And I thought, "Yeah, so are you." So we'll be telling these stories of salvation in the accents that God has given us. We will use these stories to help as we follow Jesus in the healing and the changing of the world. Sometimes oneness will work. We may step on one another's toes. We may misinterpret what someone else says. We may see the big picture and miss the humanity of the person right next to us. On the other hand, we might proclaim salvation to the one standing right beside us, but miss the gross injustices that happen in our larger society. When Jesus calls us to oneness, I do not believe that Jesus meant sameness or conformity or unilateral agreement. The oneness to which Jesus calls us recognizes that Jesus is one with God, and the love God has, Jesus calls us and puts also in us, just as Jesus is in us. When we receive one another, recognizing the presence of Christ in each unique face, whether local or Lawai, established follower or fresh recipient of the gospel, privileged or slave, male or female, we glimpse God's glory in our midst. Look and discover. Amen.